Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Actually, I do want a lot for Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Georgia!
Happy Christmas!
Oh, Christmas Eve, hey?
I know. What are you doing on Christmas Eve?
Well, my day has just begun with the podcast, and I will be, in a Chris Rea fashion, driving you home for Christmas. Because I'm on heart today, 4 till 7, getting the nation home.
Oh, so.
No, don't say that! I love my job.
I love it. I think it's fab, but I do feel sorry for you that you're not actually at home and you're getting everyone else home.
I'm not going to be able to put my
but
kids
that's about,
in
that's
bed.
What you're like. You're doing everything for everyone else.
I know. Look, it is what it is. Luckily, I love my job so much, the other job. So it's fine. I do feel slightly sad that I'm not going to put my kids to bed tonight. But when I creep in, they might think I'm Santa.
They might. Are you going to dress up?
Yes. Yeah. I'm driving down to my sister's tonight in the south of England, and I'm going to wake up and hopefully we'll have a snowy day tomorrow on Christmas Day.
Oh, lovely.
It'll be nice, won't it?
Well,
what are you doing?
I'm sitting in boxes because I've just moved house.
How did the move go? Carnage.
Don't really need to say anymore, do I? And then we are probably going to head and see family tomorrow, and then we have to come home early because James has a game on Boxing Day. So Christmas for us is like short and sweet.
Well, I know. It's I can empathise because we're both married to the sportsman, and, yeah. And you just don't really get a long period. But you can make the most of Christmas Day, and you can be the one that drinks all the drinks.
Yes, because last year I couldn't drink. So this year, yeah. I can make up for it.
She's going to get shit-faced.
Woohoo!
Will there be any fights?
No fights.
No arguments.
No arguments. My family are not very confrontational. Are you going to have arguments?
No, mine are not confrontational. Well, look, to be fair, never say never.
Yeah, can you imagine? We'll come back in the new year. We've got black eyes and there's been like a big bust up.
It happened. Not an actual physical bust up, but when we had Christmas with both the families, I thought it was a really good idea. The year that we got engaged, which was the year that Luna was born, 2016, we went to Bath for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Doz's mum, sister, boyfriend Tim, and then, I mean, a real low point was on Boxing Day when I walked past the kitchen in this rented house and I could hear his mother saying to my mother, "Are you rolling your eyes at me?" And I thought, oh, fucking hell, here we go.
God.
It's going to be a scene from EastEnders
families.
In a second. Families. Oh, so good luck to everyone tomorrow.
Yes.
Keep it calm. So absolutely. This is nice. We've decided, because it's Christmas, we are going to do a Christmas Q&A. Although it's not actually related to Christmas, it's just a Q&A on Christmas Day.
It's basically what you guys wanted to ask us. So if you'd asked us Christmassy questions, we would have answered them. But so far, I can't see any.
Do you want to kick us off, G?
Yeah, I can. So interested to know about transitioning from formula to normal milk, when and how.
Oh.
This is...
I'm not the one.
Very topical at the moment.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Kit's obviously been having such a really tough time with his eczema, and he has been on Neocate since he was about 10 weeks old. And just recently, in the last 6 weeks, I've taken him off the Neocate and I put him onto oat milk, because I drink oat milk. We have it in the house. It's such a ball ache to get the Neocate. I mean, like, seriously, going up
so
to the chemist.
So how old was he when you stopped the Neocate?
So he was 19 months.
Okay.
He only has one bottle a day. So in my head, and we've started to introduce bits of dairy at home because obviously when we went for his allergy testing, he was only really allergic to egg. And they told me that I could start doing the milk ladder. So he's having like tiny bits of butter and, you know, obviously staying away from egg. But I just thought, well, we're sort of done with the Neocate now. He seems to be getting slightly better. Let's put him onto oat milk. So I just did this. I just did the switch.
Yeah, I just did a, I think one day we ran out of formula with Axel. I think he was one, maybe not even one.
I mean, correct us if we're wrong, but I think from one...
You're allowed to give cow's milk, well, whatever milk.
Yeah, whatever milk you want to give.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right as well. But it doesn't have to be that big of a transition, I don't think. I think if they're down to one or two bottles a day, then you could just make the switch. And if they like the taste, then...
Yeah, and if you don't want to go down the cow's milk route, you can absolutely go down goat's milk. It's easier to digest. Yeah. There's obviously so many great nut milks. Yeah. And, you know, you shouldn't... Apparently, you shouldn't give rice milk till they're two. So that's something to think about. But have a little look. Alpro, Soya do a really good growing up milk, which we've just started to give Kit now with a giraffe on the front. So I would go and speak to somebody that you trust. Maybe it's a dietitian or a nutritionist or whatever, and just kind of get like an overview on it. But I think it's from one.
Yeah, I think it's from one. Yeah. But yeah, don't stress about the switch because it's usually really quite simple.
And I actually think that other milks are tastier than the formula milks.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the Neocate tastes like ass.
Oh, yeah. And smells like ass as well.
No, it's ass.
And ass. And I was like, ass.
Right. What foundation do you use? Oh, a quick switch onto beauty. I love this.
Me too. You go first because I'm in a foundation predicament at the moment.
Oh, interested to hear. I am an absolute sworn Charlotte Tilbury fan. I use Wonder Glow as like a primer, which has got like a bit of a shimmer in it. People always ask me why my skin looks slightly sort of shimmery. And
it's beautiful. Oh, it's super glowy.
Oh, thanks. That's because... I was going to say something really sick, but that's because of my foundation. And then I use the light one that I mix shade 6 and 7 together, and it gives a nice coverage, not too heavy, but still makes you feel dewy.
Yeah,
that's
lovely.
A good one. Worth it.
I'm thinking
you?
Of making the switch over to Charlotte Tilbury. I feel like, I don't know if it's because I'm using loads of retinol at the moment, but none of my foundations are sitting properly on my face. So I used to use Laura Mercier Silk Creme for like my whole life.
Love that.
I absolutely love it, but now it just looks flat. So then I've been using a Givenchy one, which I do quite like.
Bit drying?
Well, it's just not super glowy. That's the thing. I love that like dewy, glowy effect. So yeah, maybe I'll make the switch over.
You tried that Rihanna's Fenty, didn't you?
I loved it, but I don't think it lasted on my face very well. And also, I love that IT Cosmetics CC cream. But again, I found that it wore off around my chin and around my nose. Mm. And that's the thing. Like, when you go and have a foundation, like when you go and try a foundation, don't just buy it there and then. Leave it on your skin, go off. And because it needs to last 10 hours, 8 hours, doesn't it really?
Who shops for 10 hours though? Just pop round the
department store for 10 hours. Or leave it overnight, you know, like go home and then see what it looks like and then go back and buy it, because that's the some of them look great as soon as you put them on, but then they just don't last on
that's
your skin.
That's a really good tip. Both Georgia and I also love Laura Mercer Secret Camouflage. It's absolutely our wonder product, because it kind of, it just gives you that incredible kind of filtered look on your cheeks if you're trying, and then you can put your blusher on top of it, so it covers up any pores or any kind of
That's like a hero product.
Oh, isn't it amazing.
Okay, I'm going to move on to something more serious. Any tips on managing reflux when weaning? My 8 month old is on omeprazole.
Well, I can completely sympathize and empathize with this one. It's an absolute minefield. But it's good that you've got your little one on omeprazole, because that has been our lifesaver for us. That's worked. So I think with weaning for reflux, they obviously have, it's an acid problem. So unfortunately, certain fruits are very acidic, and Kit won't touch fruit. I mean, I've tried a million times to put fruit down in front of him. He doesn't want it. He's not interested in it. And that must go back to when he had the reflux.
Yeah.
And I was spoon feeding him all these kind of fruit purees that I've made. So I think obviously kind of try and keep the food as bland as possible.
Yeah, like basic, isn't it? It's like stick to the basic foods.
You know, white, I mean, I don't know, at 8 months, no, can't have fish.
They can have fish at 8 months.
They can have fish at 8 months,
can't
they?
Yeah, 6 months. I know this because I was reading Annabelle Carmel's book last night.
There you go. Kit basically loves things like porridge oats. He loves things like pasta. He, you know, he likes things like white fish. and I can get him to eat like a few like mashed potato-y things like that. But it's basically just keeping it as bland as possible at the beginning, because they've obviously got a lot of acid reflux, acid going on in their gut. And
yeah,
it's like you just don't want to flare anything up.
Exactly. I also found not trying anything new before bed. So if I was introducing anything, I mean, Axel only had slight reflux, but even then I wouldn't give anything new at like 5 o'clock. It would be like in the middle of the day. So if he did have a bit of an upset tummy from it, it wouldn't be at night. It would be during the day, and I'd see him and see the effect that it had on him.
It's a really good tip. But we are not weaning experts by a long shot. And
no.
We've both, Georgia hasn't found it difficult. She's amazing and a wonder woman when it comes to cooking and feeding.
Well,
I, on the other hand, I'm like, sun bites again for dinner. So I would definitely check out, who do we love? Weaning expert was.
Well, Madeline Shaw has got a weaning page now. Joe Wicks has got one. Annabelle Carmel is great.
She's great. She's got like a full toddler plan at home, actually.
Yeah, and also it has like a thing at the back, like a pullout, and it says exactly like all the different stages of, you know, first taste, then weaning, and then when you need to introduce certain things. So that's actually just really good to follow.
Yeah. Go to Georgia for the cooking questions. Come to me for the sex ones. So next question. I would love to know any fitness tips that you've got.
Well, we've come straight from Blaze today.
We've got loads
we?
Of fitness tips. I think firstly, just give yourself a break, because you've just had a baby, one, two, however many you've got at home, twins, triplets, and it is really, really hard to get back into it. But once you start doing it, you're going to feel so much better mentally and physically. For Georgia and I, it's not about how we look, it's about how we feel.
Yeah.
I've suffered quite badly from the baby blues afterwards, so I think getting back into the gym or doing some yoga or doing some walking, whatever you do to make yourself feel good, do it as soon as you've had your 6-week check.
Absolutely. And just build it up slowly. There's lots of exercises which we all think we should be doing straight after having a baby. Like, I think HIIT training is one of them, because we think it's going to like help us lose weight. But actually, it's not great to start that. You've got to start slowly, build it up. And yeah, I mean, I think really the best thing to do is go to see a mummy physio, a women's physio, who can do a mummy MOT on you, and they can give you some exercises which prepare you for going back to like fitness.
And I think if you are at that stage where, you know, you've had all your checks and you're a bit further down the line and your kids are a little bit older, for me, you know, it is about HIIT training. Both Georgia and I love our HIIT sessions.
Yes.
And we do a class called Blaze, which is at David Lloyd, but they do loads of different classes like that across the country.
Yeah, or doing your own circuits. Yeah. We both love circuits, don't we? Just because you're tricking, well, not tricking your body, but you're doing different moves constantly and switching it up. And also, I quite like the fact that if I really hate doing something, I know it's only 45 seconds.
Yeah, and I also think it's really good to chuck in a load of different exercises. So if you can do a spin one day, you know, and you can do some yoga the next day and then go for a nice walk the next, you know, just the body gets used to exercise very quickly. So if you can keep tricking it and keep getting your heart rate up, that is how you burn calories.
Yeah. We love the gym today, don't we?
We love it. We're all over it.
Mental health in second pregnancy. How did your pregnancy differ in terms of this? Mine was so different. With Axel, I was totally fine, sailed through. With Gigi, it wasn't like that at all. I felt very confused, quite upset. I wasn't even sure if I wanted another baby at first. So I felt quite resentful towards my husband, because he was so, you know, he didn't have any of those feelings. He was totally set on having another baby. Oh, it was a completely different second time round. I think when you haven't just got you to think about and you've got somebody else, like for me, Axel, I felt like the decision was so much bigger, and I felt completely different. I didn't feel scared for the birth or anything like that. It was just more the impact that having another baby was going to have on our lives and our family.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will probably be going through that or have gone through that, because it is, even though it's easier in terms of you know what's going to happen to your life and you know how to look after a child, it's the feelings that come with the second pregnancy.
Yeah.
How are you going to cope? What's going to happen to the bond between you and your first child? Are you stealing away precious time between you and them by introducing a new baby too soon?
Yeah.
You know, all of these things. Can you breastfeed? Do you want to bottle feed? What's going to happen during the... Like, it's just...
Yeah, it is.
It is a bit of a scary head fuck, as
I like
to call
it. Yeah, and also when you when obviously later down the line in your pregnancy, if you're not feeling great, then you feel bad because you're not running around the park with your older one. It's just all of that kind of stuff. But now I look back on it, I think, why the hell did I worry? Because it's been lovely and it's been like the best thing that I could have done.
And I think if you are suffering from any form of mental health during your pregnancy, the best thing to do is communicate with whoever you've got close to you and just tell them how you're feeling. For goodness sakes, please don't go quiet and say nothing. And just because people are going to come up to you, oh, you're having another baby, isn't that wonderful? And you're like, no, I mean, it is wonderful, but I also just feel really rubbish and I can't stop crying. So talk about
and
that.
And also tell your midwife as well, because they can flag it up on your notes and stuff, and then they can make sure they ask you the right questions after, see how you're doing, and just check in with you a little bit more. So yeah, definitely.
What are your Christmas traditions? Well, funny you should say that. I love Christmas. Thanks, Mariah. We'll come back to you in a second. Our producer's pissing herself laughing. Mariah is in the room. She is present. My Christmas traditions are, obviously, we have a lovely tree at home. We do a letter from Father Christmas, which this year we've done through Classic Santa.
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah, it's cool. Amazing. The letters arrived last night.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Luna was like, I was like, it's from the North Pole. And I was like, who's it from? She goes, penguins.
Aww.
I was like, no, it's Father Christmas, it's the big guy. And we read it in bed together last night, so either I or, you know, this year Classic Santa have written a letter pretending to be Father Christmas, and that was really, really special. So I read that with Luna last night. We do the tree. We always go for a Boxing Day walk on the beach down, because I'm from sort of Kent, East Sussex area, so we go down to Camber Sands. We all like tog up, take the dogs down, just walk, I mean, in the pub on Christmas Eve.
Aww.
I'm going to be heading there tonight. Don't drink all the drinks without me. And everyone meets up there and it's really lovely. And then we're just with family. My mum obviously lives in Kenya, so she's not around. But this year we're going to go and see her on the 29th of December, and we've actually got a family holiday. We're going to be away for 12 days.
I'm so jealous.
In the sunshine.
Lovely.
I can't wait. What about you?
Well, mine's changed because of my husband's job. But we do a letter to Santa. My dad nearly always writes the reply, and he used to do that for me when I was younger as well. So he'll write a reply for Axel.
I can imagine your dad dressing up as Father Christmas. Has he ever
done
that before?
Well, he tries to pretend that he is Father Christmas because it's Saint Nicholas and his name's Nicholas. Mm. So I mean, probably till I was about 12, I pretty much believed him. So, you know.
Oh God, you're so only child syndrome.
Exactly.
My dad is Father Christmas at school.
And he keeps telling like Axel, you know, Billy knows, we call him Billy Bunter, he eats too much. But he says, you know, Billy knows Father Christmas because I'm Saint Nicholas. My name's Nicholas. So Axel probably believes that he's related to him in some way anyway.
It's so cute.
So yeah, we just do all the normal stuff. Yeah, like carrots and stuff down for the reindeers.
Yeah.
And then we'll take a bite out of them. But this year we're in a new house and we're trying to decide where Santa's going to come down the chimney into. Because Axel doesn't want him.
Is there a
chimney? Yeah, so there's a fireplace in most rooms. It's like a really old house. So Axel doesn't want Santa to come in his bedroom. So, because we had a lovely idea that we'd put the stocking in the fireplace in his bedroom.
Bit,
he doesn't
creepy.
Want him in his bedroom. So we're going to have to put him
I don't want Santa in my bedroom either.
Axel wants him in the garden.
Yeah.
So we'll make a plan later.
Brilliant. Brilliant. No one wants a really creepy old man coming into their bedroom.
No, it's a bit
anyway.
Weird, isn't it?
Slightly.
Do either of you want any more babies?
Oh, God. Do you know what? Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this on the podcast.
You do?
No, but the thing is that Dozer has had a vasectomy.
Yeah.
Right? So we can't have any more children.
They
and
are
we made
reversible.
The decision not to have any more kids. But I don't know. I think I do. I don't know if I do or not. I sometimes do. I mean, Kit's not a baby anymore. He's grown up so big and he can say mummy and he can kick footballs and he doesn't want cuddles. And it's like, I want a baby again. I think I do. I think part of me does. We're not going to. We can't afford it. It's crippling us financially, but
they're so cute. How do you know when you're done? That's the thing, isn't it?
Like, your husband has a vasectomy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, they're reversible. I always think, are they?
Yeah, they are.
They
but
are.
He's like, I can't go back.
Way.
I can't go back through that pain. Do you want any more?
No, I don't want any more.
I definitely bet you have another baby.
See, everyone keeps saying this to me, and now when I say it, I'm thinking, am I lying?
Oh my God! Like,
no, I really, in my head, I don't want any more, but I think because everyone in the outside thinks I will.
Yeah.
Now I'm confused, but no, I really, I'm so happy.
You're such a natural mother. You just breeze through it. Georgie, you do. And she's so easy. She's so, like, she doesn't cry, does she, Imo? Imo's shaking her head.
No, I know she's easy and I'm really
lucky. That's because of you.
But I'm not going to jinx it.
No.
I've had my luck.
Yeah. I met this woman in the gym today and she was like, oh, how many have you got? And I was like, oh, two and stepdaughter, Isla. And I was like, what about you? She goes, four. And I was like, four? And she goes, we had two. I went for one more. Identical twins.
Twins. Yeah, you hear that a lot, don't you? I know.
Imagine that.
I was with someone yesterday who's got five. And I said, do you think you'll have any more? She goes, oh, yeah.
Mother of all adventures.
Yeah, Jade.
Yeah, she's amazing. Hi, Jade. We love you. But how have you had five children?
Five children.
You answered your question. No.
No, we're not having
any more babies. For now. What is the main difference between raising little boys and little girls? What an interesting question.
Yeah, because I'd love to say there is no difference, but I think there is.
Go on, because this could be an interesting one.
In terms of babies, Gigi is a completely different baby to Axel. Gigi is quiet, sweet, you know, like very... That's just how you'd imagine a little girl to be, I guess.
And be Axel, careful with your stereotypes.
No, I am. I'm not. I don't want to be, but I'm just saying it how it's happened.
Right.
Like, I mean, I dress Axel in girls' clothes all the time, so
yeah,
you know.
That's true.
But Axel was loud, would crash and bang stuff around. I've found it really different, already. But obviously, you're further along. So where?
I don't even know where to begin. They are. Just different people and different, they just happen to be different genders, but they're just, I don't look at them as, it's really hard because they're just such big personalities, both of them, but it's not because one's a boy and one's a girl.
Yeah.
The only difference, and this is sort of, Kit is a bit more straightforward and Luna is a bit more emotionally complex, but that's because she's older and she can articulate it a bit better. Maybe he'll be like that as he grows up.
That's the thing. You don't know if it's to do with being a boy and a girl. It's just different children.
It's just very different. I mean, what can I say? There's always been balls lying around the house.
Yeah.
And Luna...
Sorry.
There we go. She's taking it there, not me. There's just balls everywhere in the house. Since Luna was a baby, she's never wanted to kick a ball. And Kit is obsessed with kicking balls. And he kicks footballs all day long. And that's nothing that I've pushed on them or done to them. Luna wants to go to ballet. I said, should we go to Little Kickers on Saturday morning? No, I want to do my ballet. So, you know... That is just what it is. I don't know whether it's to do with children or genders. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I guess we're going to learn. I think the main difference will come when they're older. Like when they're teenagers. I think that's probably when there's a big difference between raising boys and girls.
Dozer often says to me when Kit falls over, don't rush to him, don't rush to him, he's a boy. Like, it's a statement that he makes quite a lot. Don't rush to him, don't rush to him, he's a boy. And I'm like, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. My child is lying on the ground and he scratched his knee. I'm going to rush to him and check that he's okay. Now, that's coming from an alpha male who probably needs to have a look at that. So I do say to him, I'm like, you know, that's the one.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter to me.
No.
I just see my child in pain.
Exactly.
But there is that whole stereotype of like, you've got to leave them. They're boys, they've got to toughen up. Da, da, da. But I am bringing up a strong, vulnerable, emotional, you know, smart, funny boy who's going to treat women and men equally.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope.
I know. I think we've both got husbands who have the whole don't cry, don't cry sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we'll see what James is like with Gigi.
James cries like a little baby anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Husband.
He actually does as well. Out of both of us, I'm definitely not the crier.
No.
He is. Does the mum guilt ever go away?
No.
No, it really doesn't, does it?
Not at all.
Well, definitely not now. We're 3 years in and it's not going away.
Like today, Luna, I was putting Luna's boots on and I was going off to work and she said, why do you have to go to work, Mummy? And it's a question that she says to me all the time, always comes out of her mouth. And I always say the same thing. I said, Mummy loves her work and makes Mummy really happy to work. But we need to go to work. And I was like, both Mummy and Daddy need to earn money for the family. She goes, right, okay. And she goes, but when you're coming back? And I knew that I wasn't going to be back for bedtime. So I was like, Lucy's going to put you in bed tonight. And she just looked at me and burst into tears. And I just howled. It's so heartbreaking. It hasn't gone away. She's 3 and a half and I find it impossible to make everything work. Something has to be sacrificed. And tonight it's bedtime with them. And I don't like missing their bedtime. I hate it. And tomorrow night I'm hosting... Oh, no, because tomorrow night's
Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, last week I had to host a ball and I missed bedtime again. And it was like two nights that I hadn't put to bed. It was just, yeah, it never goes away in answer to your question.
No, it doesn't. But I would also remember, like, I don't remember my mum and dad not putting me to bed.
No. Like,
and there would be loads and loads of times when they didn't.
Do you think?
Yeah, there were loads and loads. They used to go out twice a week. They used to have a babysitter. And they used to go out and not put me to bed. I don't remember. I don't remember them missing a bed. Do you know what I mean? I don't remember it. It's not scarred me at all.
No.
And I do have to remind myself of that sometimes because I hate missing bedtime.
Do you feel guilty?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you feel guilty about?
Mostly, I feel guilty about splitting my time between Axel and Gigi because Axel is so well behaved when I have him on my own. He's a dream when I have him on my own. And then I think, oh, it's just because he wants attention.
I know.
That's what I find so hard.
They do, though, and they behave differently for different people. The kids do, you know, like Nana Corin comes back and says, oh, 10 out of 10 for behaviour, and they were so good, please and thank yous. And, you know, this, and it's like, they've been absolute little horrors for me. And they do, and they do that, and they do push their boundaries like that. But yeah, I feel guilty. I feel guilty that, you know, that Luna got to put up a Christmas tree with her childminder and not with me. You know, the decorations. I didn't, you know, didn't really get to do them with her, only like a few because I was busy working. So things like that break me inside. But there's nothing I can do about that.
No.
I'm making a choice. I've got to stand by it. And I think if you, you know, if you're suffering, guilt is a completely ridiculous.
It is.
Ridiculous. We
it's
all
a waste,
experience it, but
isn't
it's a waste of an emotion.
It
You've
is.
Got to try and dump it if you can because, you know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly, exactly.
And you're doing your best.
You are.
And we love you. I like this one. Baby-led versus spoon-fed weaning. Good question. For me, it was a combo. So we did combination feeding for both the kids. I'm obviously a bit anal about food and don't really know much about it, but getting better. So I like to put a little bit of overcooked steamed broccoli down there or some steamed carrots and put the veg in front so they can feel it and bits of toast and pasta and stuff. And then in the mouth.
That's exactly what I'm doing at the moment with Gigi.
Yeah,
I put bits down on her plate and then, then I use puree sometimes as well.
Yeah.
It's just a mixture. I just think you don't have, it's not like we only eat one way, is it? Like we eat soup and sushi. Like,
yeah,
you know.
And I regularly eat with my hands.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah. Like, well, I was having sushi the other day and someone said, you want me to, do you want these chopsticks? And I was like... Oh, just eating my whole sushi just with my hands. But it's quite nice.
Yeah.
And I like to eat chips with my hands too.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What childcare option do you have for your kids, i.e. nursery and a childminder? Thank you to Sarah for that question.
Cool. My childcare situation is a little bit muddled now. So Axel's at preschool, but that's only ever 9:15 to 2:15. 5 days, well, 3 days he does that, and then 9:15 to 12:15 the other 2 days.
Who does the pickups and the drop-offs?
Me, really, because I'm not at my normal job at the moment. So that's where I wouldn't be able to do it. Absolutely couldn't do it. But with this job, obviously, I can work around it. My mum will travel over from South London to pick Axel up if I'm recording or doing anything. And obviously, I can bring Gigi to a lot of stuff. But we are going to look at a part-time nanny. We did that when we moved before with Axel. We had one 2 days a week. And I think we might do that again, because when Axel goes to school, everything changes again. It's just complete.
And Axel goes to school in September.
I know, yeah. And then you've got, I mean, I don't, I haven't even really thought about it, and I need to.
I can't believe he's going to school. Georgia, we're getting so old!
I know, but he was at nursery before, and that was a nursery where I could drop him at 7:30 in the morning and pick him up at 6:30 at night. And it's a long old day, but do you know what? There are loads of kids there whose parents have to do that. So there's so many options. You have quite a good situation at the moment, don't you?
Yeah. We finally got our childcare situation sorted, and I'm doing everything in my power to never, ever, ever let it go. We have got the most wonderful, wonderful 3 day a week nanny. Her name is Lucy. We found her on the Surrey Nanny Network. I chatted to loads of wonderful, wonderful childcare technicians, I guess, nannies. But you know, we just get a feel for somebody. Lucy's become part of the family, and I couldn't do it without her. She comes at 7:30 in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and stays until 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. And she can stay late if one of us gets stuck somewhere. You know, she's not like out the door and being like, oh, goodbye now. I mean, she's just so brilliant. It's definitely the biggest expense in our life. But, you know, for me, it was cheaper to get somebody to look after them 3 days a week than send them both to nursery.
Oh, sending two children to nursery is crazy.
75 quid a day per child?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Axel's was more than that.
Yeah, 81 or something.
Yeah, it was 80 something.
And then we've also got my lovely friend Hannah, who's one of my dear friends from the area that we live in now. Her mum used to be a childminder and loves kids, and they call her Nana Corinne, and they basically think that she's her grandma. And they go there, they spend days the odd day. Like, I can text her, like, I've literally just texted her saying, can you have the kids tomorrow? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. So we have got the dream scenario, and I really look after them, and I love them dearly. If you're listening, I love you so much.
I think you've got to set up your people if you haven't got family around, haven't
you? Yeah, because we've got no family.
Yeah, because I'm so lucky that my mum doesn't work, so she can sort of be with me when I need her to be, but also I don't want to rely on her.
My mum's busy running a charity and has a school for kids with HIV in Kenya, so she's got 135 of her own children to look after. She's like, I can't abandon them. So how do you deal with mum anxiety? Do you ever get any of that, G?
Trying to think. Yeah, I feel anxious about certain things. Like, it's more just if I'm making the right decisions. But I'm not a majorly anxious person. I'm like, just ignore it.
Oh, the old ignore it.
Yeah, and then crumble. That's my technique.
Georgia, we've been friends for nearly 4 years now. Have I not taught you anything? Talk it out.
No. I am getting better at talking it out. But I don't really get that anxious. I get more anxious about, am I picking the right school? Am I asking the right questions? But then I also have a voice in the back of my head that's like, Georgia, just shut up. Don't worry about it. That's like my
Georgia is such
coping.
A pillar of strength, right? She just carries. She's like a Trojan war horse, but like a bit. No, that's a compliment. You don't look like one. You are one. You just keep going. You just keep going and going and going. And she really does have her shit together. You really do have your shit together.
I don't know how.
It's amazing. Isn't
how
it?
How do you deal with mum anxiety?
Well, just fall apart, don't I, and cry all the time. But that's just me. I do it.
But
a
you
lot.
Feel better after.
I am a big crier. I get stressed out about stuff quite easily. The machine is big, the juggle is real, and spinning all the plates and trying to keep them all in the air at the same time. You know, I'm doing a lot. It's not just Made by Mamas. It's like my TV and radio stuff. I've got the DJing, the writing. You know, it's just endless home life. So, yeah, how do I deal with mum anxiety? I go to the gym, and that really resets me. I had a bad day on Monday where I couldn't stop crying, and I went to... you know, last Monday, and I just trained. I did 5 sessions last week. So for me, it's very about good. Exercise. Sex really helps me.
I was just
me.
Gonna say boxing, no. But then you chipped in with sex.
Sex really helps my anxiety levels. I feel really good after I have a good shag. Did that creep you out because I said it looking in your
no,
eyes?
No, I feel so relaxed about this now.
Do you feel the same?
No, not really. I prefer hitting a punch bag and pretending it's my husband's face, but, you know. Either way.
I think, and also just, like, I think it was Megan. We had Megan Lane on, and I think she was saying stuff about standing in your power.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes I just have to, like, look at myself in the mirror and be like, you have got this, you are enough, you can do it, and put myself back together. But I'm definitely one of those people that, is okay, explode, not okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, implode, not okay. So I do that quite a lot, but that's my personality.
I think I do that though.
Tantrums are like this.
Gigi, bless her. I need to not put that on her really. Terrible twos. My little boy is coming up to two and the struggle is real. Non-stop screaming.
Oh no.
Help.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That is hell.
It is. The terrible twos can be terrible.
The testing twos, we like to call them.
Yeah, testing twos. Firstly, go back and listen to our podcast with Chris and Rose from Expect the Best, because there are some amazing tips in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that podcast every single parent should listen to, because it changed our lives, didn't it?
Definitely.
Chris and Rose are just so good at giving advice. One thing that's come out about Luna recently, she's a bit older, so this is a year later than you, because actually Kit is 20 months and is showing signs of starting to do bits of tantruming, but they're not full-blown tantrums yet. So I think you've probably got it to come, sadly. Yeah. I think the thing for you is to try and stay calm. Raising your voice and shouting, it doesn't work. I think it's okay to have a timeout. Chris and Rose talk about a timeout. Like, for example, if you're really stressed out about it and you're becoming more and more and more anxious and upset, you could put him in his cot and just say, look, mummy needs to step away for a few minutes. Then you know he's safe. I think coming down to their level,
yeah,
you know, talking to them in language that they understand, hugging them. You know, I'm more of a gentle parenting style. My husband is more naughty step, you know.
Oh, me too. I'm totally, yeah.
Are you
gentle, talking it out.
Yeah, talking it out.
Yeah, I sort of started changing my language quite a lot. So rather than being like, stop crying, I'm like, why are you crying? You don't need to cry. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, more what's wrong, like listening.
Yeah.
That's what I've been
when
doing.
When a child isn't even two, though, because I don't know how much at almost two you can even, Kit's not, he's saying a few words. He can't communicate with me how he's really feeling.
Yeah.
But if he's ever upset or anxious, I just give him a cuddle. And I did it with Luna the other day. She was having a full-blown tantrum and I just got hold of her and I just said, mummy's here, I'm not leaving you. And I took her into a different room and I hugged her and hugged her and hugged her and she just stopped.
Calm down.
Yeah.
And also I think as well, just don't worry about the tantrums when you're in public,
because
I think that can just make it worse. Yeah. They sense your anxiety,
and
sometimes that will make it worse.
And also in the next 6 months you'll be able to start introducing a wow board, which Chris and Rose talk about on the podcast, which is a really good way of rewarding them. You know, they have these wow moments, you can put up stickers and the whole family can get involved in that. So definitely listen to the podcast.
Yes, definitely.
So if you go to baby groups, what do you do with your day to entertain a baby / kill time? So we're real outdoorsy people and we don't live in a city. So we are like wellies on, full blown outfits, and we're out in the woods. We're like building dens. We're jumping in muddy puddles. And I don't know how old your baby is, but I think just getting out and about and getting some fresh air instead
going
of
out for a walk,
sitting in the soft play. If the soft play is like, kill me now. You know, I cannot deal with any more of that. So we're like outdoors, whatever the weather.
Yeah, for me, I find everything's really busy with Gigi, even though I haven't taken her to any groups apart from swimming yet, and I probably won't, to be honest. So to kill time, I go to the gym, I put her in the creche, then I bring her back, then she has a sleep. Just getting out, really, just not staying at home.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing for me.
And also, if you've got a mate that you can do all these things with, you know, Peanuts are really good if you're like looking for people in the area to connect with, because really all you need is one or two mates who are going through the same thing, who've got kids the same age, and then whatever you do is a thing.
Like, yeah, anywhere.
It's fun.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Even just drinking coffee around the park, you're like, let's talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Those little shits go to sleep.
Yeah, I think just get out and about if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Can we do what do you want for Christmas?
What do you want for Christmas? Yeah. What do you want for Christmas?
A Dyson Airwrap. And I'm really hoping that it's under the tree tomorrow, because if it's not, I'm just going to buy it for myself anyway.
You did not tell me that you wanted one of those. I would have got you one.
Oh,
they're supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, I want that.
And I'm going to be really honest.
What do you want?
I want a Dyson Hoover. This is not a sponsored bit of content,
all.
By the way.
We haven't even spoken about
I've got this shitty old Hoover at home, which I've been going... And I think it's kicking out more... stuff on the carpet than sucking up. I have to go around to my neighbours and be like, can I borrow you Henry every time I want a Hoover? So please, please, for God's sake, someone buy me a Hoover for Christmas tomorrow. How sad. And
that is sad.
I want a dildo.
I knew you was going to... When you said duh, I thought, oh, I know
here
where
we
this
go.
Is going.
Listen, I can't just have a Hoover. I need something else that vibrates.
Do you know what though? Dyson Hoover is like the best thing.
But if Dyson did vibrators, they would be the best vibrators.
Maybe they will.
The suck and vibrate! This is genius.
Oh, God.
Oh, I've started to sweat a little bit. So how to handle people buying so many toys for your kids, overwhelming for everyone.
Do you know what? This is such a big thing. Axel was sort of the first baby again in our family, like on my side of the family. So he has been so spoiled with toys. And so this is a real thing for us. I love that everyone in my family wants to buy him things. It's lovely, but we are managing it. And I think what we're going to do is a bit of a toy rotation. So tomorrow, he'll obviously get lots of things, but maybe we won't let him open them all in one go, and we'll sort of introduce them over the next couple of weeks.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah, and then before we moved house, we made him, I don't want to say made, but, you know, like we asked him to give some toys away to children that don't have as many toys as him, so that he can understand that it isn't just about getting loads of toys. And I have really, really struggled with this. How on earth do you sort of teach them that it isn't just about getting toys when the focus is all around Christmas, is so much around presents?
Giving. Yeah, it's
it
giving.
Is,
giving,
isn't
giving,
it?
Giving, giving, giving. And yeah. They find it really hard. They don't really understand. Luna spent the entire Christmas last year crying and screaming, and I wasn't angry with her. I felt sorry for her because it was all too much for her. I mean, we've said to people, please don't buy the kids anything this year. That sounds really mean. I mean, the grandparents are going to get them something little, but we're not, it's not, I don't want them to be completely overloaded tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't want that again. And they've got so many lovely things. And actually, you know, we've done a lot of charity shop buying again this year and lots of Facebook marketplace buying. And I think it's just about saying to them, I just keep reiterating constantly, you know, there are lots of people that don't have as much as us, and we really need to like give back. So when you're finished playing with a toy, we'll take it down somewhere, and we go to the charity shop with
and
them
give,
to do
yeah.
and give back. And like communication, if you don't want people to buy your kids loads of toys, tell them.
Yeah, I've also sort of tried to get involved with getting Axel to pick presents for other people.
Yeah.
So it's not all around him. Just in our side of the family, he's the only child. So it's literally like everyone's looking at him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and he loves the limelight, but you know.
He's the prince, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not spoiled, G. You've done a good job there.
Yes.
Tips for potty training.
Potty training.
Yes, my 18-month-old has started to understand when she's been. Well, that's amazing.
That is so good.
18 months and doing that, that's incredible.
Brilliant. Axel was the same as that. He was really young when he started getting it, and the nursery told me not to do it. And I really, really, really regret not just going with it, because I think you just have to listen to your child. If they're ready, then they're ready. That's fantastic.
Yeah. There's a couple of really good books. Princess Potty is amazing. And...
there's a pirate.
Pirate
one,
Pete?
There? Yeah.
Pirate Pete one. And they're really good potty. They're Chris and Rose also from Expect the Best recommended those two books. I did it with Luna. She picked it up really quickly after. We just read it every single night to her. And then she started to understand. I also said, you know, there's going to be a really amazing present arriving in the post for you. And that was a potty that she had chosen. And there was this pink one and it had a little seat on it. And she was really into it. She was like, my potty! So... I think, you know, those are two really good tips. And then also just encouraging them to go, just giving them free time without their nappy on and just being at home and roaming around. But really, it shouldn't take that. This is a good piece of advice someone gave. It doesn't take that long. When a child is ready, we tried 6 months too early with Luna. She'd just turned two. she didn't get it. She just did not get it. So I just put the nappy back on her. Didn't make a big deal. 6 months later, we tried again and she got it in 3 days.
Yeah, that's the thing. It shouldn't take a long time. And also, just language-wise, Chris and Rose again said, even now with Gigi, when she does a poo in her nappy, I don't say like negative words, like it's stinky. I'll be like, well done, that's so good.
Yeah.
So it's just about changing the language from something that could be perceived as negative, and just making going to the toilet in general a really positive thing.
Yeah, exactly. A wow moment.
Yes, indeed.
Should we do one last one?
Let's do one last one. Did your style change after being a mama? My body's changed so much and I feel lost.
Oh, don't feel lost.
No, don't feel lost. And I know that's really hard because everyone says you should be so happy that with what your body's done. But sometimes it can be really difficult to feel like that.
I think it's about discovering a new you, because you are different after you've had a baby. And what you used to wear might not make you feel good anymore. So it's about, for me, it's about finding a look that works for you. Like, I take a lot of inspiration from people on Instagram and, you know, photographs of people that I see. Georgia is also my inspiration when it comes to fashion. She's got a great eye. So I think if you can find stuff that works for you and your body, forget about trends or what you should be wearing.
Yeah.
And also just know that it will evolve. I don't know how old your baby is, but, you know, for now you might want to wear like a really great pair of, you know, leggings and like an oversized jumper with like a great coat and some trainers, and that might be your kind of, with a pair of shades and a beanie,
your go-to.
Until you feel confident enough to, you know, minimize the baggy, but the bagginess of the jumper and whatever makes you feel good. It's all about feeling good and confident, isn't
exactly
it?
Yeah, I think treat yourself to a few new things as well, because everyone feels so much better when they've bought themselves a few nice things. I'm not buying jeans yet,
no,
so I would just buy stuff that you can sort of feel comfortable in.
Yeah, and also, I mean, the high street is absolutely amazing for picking up pieces. You don't have to spend a fortune.
No.
I always say that, you know, George was talking about jeans. If you're not comfortable getting jeans, fair enough, but like, have an amazing blazer in your wardrobe that you can wear with various different things. A great pair of white trainers or sparkly ones like George has got on today.
Christmas, like
a really great coat. There's certain like key pieces to your wardrobe that you can keep pulling out and putting with other things.
Yeah. And finding a t-shirt that fits you really well
is
It's key, and it doesn't have to be expensive either.
And obviously, like, gorgeous knitwear and stuff. Knitwear doesn't show off your body. So if you are struggling and feeling a bit like, oh, lumps and bumps and I'm not comfortable with this, just get like a really amazing knitwear from Zara, a jumper from Zara.
Yeah.
Like, you know, rock it on Christmas Day tomorrow. Have you got your Christmas Day outfit sorted?
I haven't. No, I'm hoping I'll get given one tonight. Not that I'm about giving or anything, but, you know.
Something sequiny?
Of course. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to seek full sequins.
Full sequins?
No, but not double sequins. Sequin skirt, black fluffy jumper, high heels.
Oh, lovely.
And which will be on the floor by about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I was going to say, pajamas. I'm always super casual on Christmas Day. Yeah,
it's nice. We're gonna have a good one, aren't we? Listen, that is the end of the Christmas special. George and I are going to head home to our families. Me not quite yet, but you shooting off now.
Yeah, I'm going to have a drink on the train on the way home. Why not?
Festive. And I'm going to drink through my radio show. I'm not, if you're listening, I am. And we're going to be back on New Year's Eve for a New Year's Eve best bits.
Woohoo!
We can't wait for that. Thank you so much for all your questions. As always, if you'd like to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, that would be amazing. And you can give us a little 5 stars as well.
And please do drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman.
There you go. We'll see you next week. Happy Christmas! Come on, Georgia!
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and lots of great sex.
Oh.
You ruined it.
Sorry.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.